We're traveling this month with some of America's finest writers, traveling from the comfort of our own reading chairs. The authors are drawn from the National Geographic Direction series of literary travel memoirs. And today, the memoir South of the Northeast Kingdom takes us to rural Vermont in the company of David Mamet.
And a less obvious tour guide of Yankee country living would be hard to find. David Mamet made his reputation as a writer of gritty urban dramas, peopled with small-time cons, unsympathetic women, and oleaginous salesmen, fast, funny, and full of profanity. Mamet's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Glengarry Glen Ross, focuses on real estate salesmen. Here, a moment from the movie version in which consultant Alec Baldwin motivates the underperforming sales staff, beginning with the words,
"Have I got your attention now? Good. Because we're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired."
David Mamet doesn't exactly put away the knives in his new memoir of the rural Vermont he's called home for four decades. Sharp instruments are simply more likely to be used to skin a deer or whittle. Yes, sitting on the set of his current movie in Los Angeles, David Mamet admits it.
It was interesting to read that you were a Boy Scout.
Yeah, that was a great thing to be in the 50s.
And not just a Boy Scout, but you reached levels at which you got at least one or two fancy leather patches.
Oh, I got every leather patch, sure thing. I got a bunch of them. I mean, here we've grown up in this little Jewish enclave, and it's tucked away on the south side of Chicago. And America was so different in those days. The cities weren't that big then, and the connection to the countryside was still very, very firm. You know, get in a car in Chicago on a Sunday afternoon and ask the farmer if you could have a picnic under his or her tree. And so a lot of those country pastimes and country skills were still practiced, if not in the city, at least fairly close by. How to build a fire, how to fish, how to skin an animal, how to shoot, how to track game, first aid and Morse code. They were great things for kids to learn. And it was much closer to something approaching an education than anything I ever learned in any school.
So when you got to Vermont, basically, as a teen, an older teenager, but a college
I was 17.
Student, what was it? Did you think, I've come home?
Well, yes, I did. You know, I'd never seen mountains before. I was from Chicago, and then all of a sudden there's the most beautiful countryside in the world. Mm-hmm. And there I was. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous and peaceful. It's very, very peaceful. And the book is really an homage, I hope, a piece of gratitude. I mean, a couple of weeks over there would have been heaven, you know, and I spent most of 40 years there.
In one passage in the book, David Mamet ponders how much harder it is to write of the truth and beauty he found there.
As A.J. Liebling said about boxer Billy Graham, he's as good a fighter as he can be without being a hell of a fighter. That's what I think about Robert Frost. But perhaps he was ruined by his subject matter, as most probably am I in this book. Perhaps this part of New England, he was from across the river in New Hampshire, is too beautiful, too complete to write of other than reverentially. The changing of leaves in Vermont is one of the few events or places in life it is impossible to overbill. However much one hears them praised, however much one hears or employs the adjective indescribable, it will surpass any first viewer's possible expectation. It will delight like Jerusalem, like Venice, like any first true love. Shocking were it not so incontrovertibly benign.
There's this little section where you talk about the old-fashioned, it's a cook stove.
Oh, let's see, where is it here? I'm talking about what used to be called a parlor stove. It's a wood stove that you used to stick in the parlor and would hold a fire for 4 hours, about the amount of time you'd spend in a parlor, but to get a small room hot very quickly. It says, "Today, of course, such wood stoves are prized, sought, and petted as antiques. The stoves, coincidentally, continue to work quite well. For an experience of heaven, I recommend this. Bake an apple pie in a cook stove, feed the stove apple wood or rock maple, go out and smell the mingled smoke coming down in the cold." So there you have it.
I think for many people, though, reading this book, that will seem un-Mamet-esque, speaking about the odor of an apple baking in a stove.
Well, I've written a lot about Vermont over the years. I wrote my first novel, it's called The Village, it takes place in Vermont. I wrote a movie about Vermont called State in Maine.
State in Maine to me was about, you know, the movie business and quite a bit about the crassness of the movie business. And the town shone as a certain innocence, and yet you still had, what was the mayor?
Oh, no, they were all corrupt. Everybody was corrupt, just like life.
Except you have many, many pages here where the no people are the opposite of corrupt.
As Patrick O'Brien says in one of his novels, when was a village reputation ever incorrect? It's a phrase I've thought a lot about, because I say that in a village life, that there may be crassness and there may be cupidity, but there's very little hypocrisy, because everything that everybody does is known. And also in Vermont, as I say in the book, people have to rely upon one another, because the life is hard in many ways.
Throughout the book, you place yourself as, well, heavens, you've been there for 40 years, but also as an outsider, and even to some degree a despoiler of this paradise that you've put yourself in.
Well, that's true. I am an outsider. The old joke has the guy come down to the country store and say, you know, I know I'm from down country, I'm not a Vermonter, but at least my kids were Vermonters, they were born here. And the old-time Vermonter says, well, they aren't Vermonters even though they were born here. The guy says, how come? The Vermonter says, well, if your cat crawled into the oven and had kittens, would you call them muffins? So that's a very, very old culture in Vermont. You know, those people have been there since the 17th century. So they're adapted to the land and to each other. And so people come up and they say, oh, wonderful, let me just sit in the cabin and read books, and I guess I'm just like you. And one isn't. You know, one can just admire and be grateful.
David Mamet's memoir of Vermont is called South of the Northeast Kingdom. More readings from the book at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.